If you're committed to living a healthier life, you might want to look into working herbs into your wellness routine. There's a reason people have trusted them for thousands of years. Nature's Way understands that nature is the ultimate problem solver, and they're constantly inspired by the power of nature. For example, their ginger root and slippery elm bark have been traditionally used for digestive support. And St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support. And because Nature's Way sources from around the world and does a ton of comprehensive potency and quality testing in their state-of-the-art lab, you can be sure you're getting top-quality herbs. To learn more, visit naturesway.com.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to Car Stuff. My name is Ben Boland.
And I'm Scott Benjamin.
Scott, I have a brief rant.
Please go for it. Just whatever. Is this going to involve any kind of swearing or something we're going to have to, you know, delete?
We'll fix it in post.
Fair enough.
Beep. I'm kidding. So this is something that I have thought about for a long time. Maybe this isn't quite a rant because I'm not particularly angry with anyone. I don't think I have a right to be angry about this. But, man, naming cars must take so much work. I mean, unless you're Henry Ford and you name a car after your kid, it's got to take so much work to figure out a good car name. And we've talked about this in the past, but it still startles me when we talk about some car names just stink, man. Just look, I'm being subjective, right? Mm-hmm. But some car names are just unbelievable, considering that an auto manufacturer must spend untold millions of dollars to make a new vehicle, and it's pretty difficult to make a car. I was almost cursing. we'll fix it. We'll fix it in post. But with all these difficulties and with all the work that goes into making a car, you would think that at some point there would be somebody who would say, hey, that's a terrible name. And I just wanted to get that out of the way because I think most of these names are great.
Yeah, you know what? In the past, I've kind of thought, like, what would I name a new vehicle?
Yeah, it's a weird one-hand clapping kind of
and
question.
It's hard because, you know, you instantly start thinking of names that are already out there to begin with because there's thousands of them.
Sure.
And, you know, you've already got this image associated, you know, in your head, you know, what you should name it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you would have to kind of make up a new word. Or you don't want to call it something kind of boring. I mean, you don't want it to be drab. You don't want it to be a lifeless name.
Yeah, and you don't want it to convey bad things about the car, like the plotter.
Yeah,
that would be a bad one.
Exactly. Yeah, there's certain names that bring forth certain images in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what, you know, I think that the list that we're going to be going over today, I think that's why this list is so good, because manufacturers, at one point in history, named a lot of vehicles after animals.
Yeah, and I would like to see this habit come back because, as we're going to see, this was once very common with almost any kind of a vehicle that you could imagine, and now it's something that we associate much more with sports cars.
Yeah, this is and you know what, honestly, modern-day vehicles, very few are named after animals at this point.
Very few.
And new vehicles that are coming out. I mean, we've got the list here, and I'm sure that there are others that we're going to forget along the
mm-hmm.
way. So we'll have listeners to remind us gently of some of these some of the names that maybe we've neglected to cover on this list. But you know, we've got an article on our site called 33 cars named after animals. We're going to go through this list, you know, just one by one. You can follow along at home if you want. Click on the links, see what we're talking about for each one.
A little bit about each of these.
And I've got a couple of extras here, just a few that, you know, maybe didn't make the list.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. We just want to, you know, mention some of these and see what, you know, the name evokes in your mind, really.
This might be a walk down memory lane for some folks.
Could be. And we're just going to have a
little fun.
A few things to say about each one.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to the next one. Let's just cover it that way. How about that?
That sounds great. What do you have to say about numero uno? We should mention this is in no particular order.
Yeah, it's not alphabetical, not chronological any other way.
And not value-based.
So exactly.
The Plymouth Barracuda.
Awesome car.
Great name.
Love it. I wish they would bring the Barracuda back. This is one that, you know, would kind of go along the lines of, like, you know, the Charger that they've got, the Camaro and the Mustang and all those kind of the throwback cars, you know, the 1960s. But the Barracuda is one that I've always loved. And maybe not so much. I like the original ones, like the 64, 65, those with the curved glass in the back. My uncle had one. That was the first car I ever rode in above 100 miles an hour, I think.
Oh.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Backcountry roads, going fishing, you know,
yeah.
Through the cornfields, that type of thing. The later versions, I think, the late 60s versions with that front end with the grill with the gills in it.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind that I wish they would bring back.
And then while we're waiting for that to come back, we already know about the fan favorite, the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm 50-50 about it. What do you think?
What do I think about
the... About the bug in general?
You know, it's got I'll tell you what, not necessarily a car for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that it's back. Well, it never really left because it was in that plant in Mexico for a while.
Yes.
But I think it's a good car for what it is. I think that its appearance has really won it over. At a risk of sounding kind of rude, I'm going to say that it's sort of the Steve Buscemi of cars. What I mean by this is not like objectively, it's not the smoothest, coolest looking car, but it does have a unique look, and I think that's worked out for that car. I
of
cannot
course.
Believe I made that analogy.
How can you can't really put down a classic, I guess, but you know, I prefer the Vans over the Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it's timeless design, I guess, and very well recognized. I mean, worldwide, too.
Worldwide. And
worldwide.
You know what? That guy who stuck a jet engine in it really saved the Beetle for me.
That's right.
So here's one with a little bit more of an awkward name, the Bison.
Yeah, the Bison. Now, that's a big animal.
Yeah, it's a big animal. It's a powerhouse.
This is a big truck.
It's a heck of a truck.
It is a Chevrolet truck, a heavy-duty truck, and it's probably not what you think. It's a semi.
Yeah, you see, this is not... A daily driver.
No. This is something that not everybody would have any kind of familiarity with. It's on the lines of like a Mack truck or something like
mm-hmm.
that, you know, a great
mm-hmm.
big pickup truck. Or, I'm sorry, a great big semi-truck. The next one, the Blackhawk by manufacturer Stutz. And I've seen one of these in person.
Have you? I was going to ask you.
I did. I saw one in a parking lot of a movie theater many, many years ago.
These are not common cars.
No, they're very uncommon. And there's, you know, take a look at a picture of a Blackhawk Stutz Stutz
awesome.
Blackhawk. And what?
I said they're awesome. They look awesome.
Oh, Ben.
What?
It's maybe not so awesome.
I didn't say the performance. I said the look of the vehicle is awesome.
I see we disagree on this one. So
oh,
we're at number four and we already disagree.
Right.
Maybe you have to see it in person.
I get, yeah.
Maybe
all
that's
right.
it. Maybe
you
that's
know what?
It's key to this whole list, probably.
We'll fight after this.
All right. So next is the Nissan or Datsun. I guess it'd be Datsun early on.
Yeah.
The Bluebird.
Yeah, Bluebird.
And I'm looking at an image of this one, and it's kind of like a rally car, road rally car.
Okay.
But, you know, just economy car, four-door. I think it was maybe a two-door variant of this, but I'm not a fan of this
one. See, I don't think... I don't think Bluebird's a very good name for a car. What about Coyote? That's an easy...
You know, the Coyote in Hardcastle McCormick. That was an awesome car, but it was a kit car.
Yeah.
So, that's one I didn't even have on my list of extras that
didn't
make the list.
Oh, don't step on the toes, man.
No, not at all. It wasn't there. Next is the Ford Bronco.
Classic.
And I've got an image here of one from 1966, but they made them all the way up to 96.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was the infamous... Ford Bronco Chase,
mm-hmm.
which everybody can find photos of online. But Ford Bronco, great big, I don't know, what do you call that? Like, not an SUV, not a pickup, really. The back end could come off of them.
It's kind of a crossover between those.
Yeah, it was a big vehicle, though,
yeah.
And very, very popular for Ford for a long time. And they even made the little Ford Bronco 2 for a while, kind of the economy version of the Ford Bronco.
Yeah.
That was actually, I think it was popular for a long, long time because there were many of them on the road.
It was no Dodge Charger, though.
No, Dodge Charger number 7. And you know what I think of when I think of Charger?
What?
Generally. You think of the Generally?
Hazard, yes.
Yeah, that's the vehicle I think of. Now, Charger, you know, they've got the current version, which is cool.
Yeah,
but,
cool.
I don't know. I kind of drift back to those 1960s models.
Maybe we're getting older, but you can't beat the older ones. You can't beat the 1960 model.
Yeah, probably.
So here's one that people are probably not going to see in real life unless they go out and look for it.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is you're more than likely to see a kit car version of this if you ever do see one, because it's a Cheetah, and it was a 1960s race car. Extremely powerful, extremely low weight, has kind of a
kind
Cobra
of a design too.
Yeah, kind of a like a shooting brake design. I don't know, kind of a Cobra look to it. It's an awesome sports car. I think the back end is so cool with the wheels right at the very back end. You sit right near the rear axle.
Yeah, this car is worth checking out.
It's like
get a chance.
A cartoonish Corvette, maybe. Almost like that. Doesn't it look like that?
It does.
So a car that's similar, the Shelby Cobra.
Of course.
I don't think we need to say much about that.
An episode about this.
Everybody knows about those.
Yeah.
The Mercury Cougar. I included a photo here of we're following along with our own sets of images, but the Cougar on the hood.
Yeah, this is clearly an ad image for this. Just to dispel any myths, the original Mercury Cougar did not, in fact, come with a pet cougar.
Yeah, and what about this myth? And I think I'm going to have to go to Snopes to find this out, but I heard some rumors that you know, some appearance that cougar mauled somebody.
You know what? I heard some of that, too. I thought it was an urban legend, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, but I'm going to have to double-check now when we leave this podcast.
Yeah, nobody quote us on that one until we double-check
it. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Next one, Volkswagen Fox. You don't see a whole lot of these often, but you know what? They still make a Fox in Latin America and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of the old boxy-style Fox, the one that predated the Jetta. So that's the kind of I'm thinking of when I think of it.
Probiotics aren't a trend anymore. They're a mainstay in the health and wellness aisle of your favorite store. And Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls are the easiest way to introduce a probiotic into your routine. I mean, they're just what they sound like. Adorable little pearls that couldn't be easier to take. But they still pack that probiotic punch. Each tiny pearl has 1 billion active cultures and protect against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort. And they actually support both digestive and vaginal health, so that's a win-win. And according to my little fact sheet here, they're designed with a triple layer coating that protects each pearl from stomach acid, so they can make it all the way to your small intestine where they're needed most. You probably didn't think we'd be talking about the small intestine today, did you? Well, digestive health is kind of important. If you know, you know. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without painful fingersticks. So you will always know which way your glucose is headed. An arrow shows you where you're heading, up, down, or steady. It can even alert you before you go too low or when you're too high. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM available, you can make better diabetes decisions about food, medication, and activity in the moment. And all those little decisions can lead to big results. Results you can see, like more time in range and lower A1C. With Dexcom G7, you can manage your diabetes with confidence. Get started with the number one recommended CGM brand by doctors and patients at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And then we have at number 12, the Gazelle by Singer. Now, this is by far and away the most un-Gazelle-looking car yeah. to ever be named Gazelle.
I know. It's one of those that the name just doesn't match the vehicle at all, as will happen in a few of these cases here. But it was a British car made from 1956 to about 1958, so very limited production. Mm-hmm. Not the Singer Sewing Machine Company.
No, totally different.
They made about 6,000 total, and that's it. So it's kind of a rarity, but again, four-door car, pretty basic, your typical British sedan.
Right, and you can see the hallmarks of British car design at that time mm-hmm. all over this vehicle, the way the headlamps are, mm-hmm. the smaller grille in the front. This is clearly a British vehicle.
It's got the rear-view mirrors on the fender, the front fenders.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Nice it's kind of a neat little car, but I don't know, just not a fan here.
I kind of want to skip number 13 just to say that it's a car. It's the Honeybee Datsun. You know,
yeah, that's
cool.
Funny. Yeah, it's neat. You know, but the interesting thing about the Honeybee, Ben, it was a Nissan or Datsun. I guess it would be a Datsun. Mm-hmm. It was an economy car that had fantastic mileage for the time. 29 city, 41 highway.
No kidding.
Yeah, so
41.
It's kind of 41. So we're kind of getting back to so this Honeybee had great mileage, and we're getting back to like. Remember the Ford Festiva that I had that would get – I swear it was getting 50 miles a gallon.
Yeah. You still talk about that one. Yeah.
And cars like that, you know, in that era, like the CRX and, mm-hmm. you know, lightweight economy cars, they got outstanding mileage. And, you know, then when you started adding everything that we had to add for safety, you know, all the airbags and, you know, the bigger bumpers and, you know, the reinforced doors and all that.
Which are good things to have.
They are. But you can see what it does to mileage quick, and you can see it in the Honeybee.
No kidding.
All right, next one. I'm kind of excited about this one, the Impala.
Ah, yes. Why are you excited?
Now, I know why you're excited.
Well, you go first.
I'm excited because one of my favorite vehicles is the 1961 Impala SS409. Love that car. Went to that car show recently in mm-hmm. Pine Mountain, Georgia, saw a bunch of these, took some great photos. I think those are the only cars that I took photos of while I was there. They were that interesting.
Wow.
They were that spectacular.
Stole the show, huh?
Yeah, they really were. But they've made them from 1957 until now. Mm-hmm. They came out as a 1958 model. But, Ben, you may have some more information about the Impala, right?
Well, Scott, I do have information about Impala, but it's not that startling. It's just subjective. As everybody knows right now, I'm the owner of a Chevrolet Monte Carlo, which is my trusty sidekick, if you will.
It's not an animal.
Well, it's not an animal. I know. I'm just saying it to say this. It's the Garfunkel to my Simon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Mobile to my Batman, the Batmobile to my Batman. But if I can swing things, I would like to be the proud owner of a Chevy Impala in the future. Spoiler alert. But I don't know when that's going to happen.
Oh, no kidding. So that's the possibility.
That's what I'm gunning for, man.
Okay.
They're just good vehicles. They're classic. I love it. And, you know, Chevy doesn't pay me to say this. I think that they are good cars, though.
Just a long-time fan.
Yeah. And you guys know how it is when you have a certain car that just gives you that itch.
You know what I'm a long-term fan of?
What's that?
Jaguar.
Oh,
not the entire mark, but mm-hmm. one specific vehicle. I love the E-Type, and Jaguar is, of course, what we're talking about because that's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love the E-Type design, and you can kind of see that in the Cheetah as well. You know, the same type of design, that shooting brake design. But I had to include an image of the E-Type as our Jaguar example in our list that we're following along with. But again, what more to say about that?
What more to say? We'd need a whole podcast to talk about.
How about the Studebaker Lark?
Oh, my gosh. Again, with the bird stuff, man. Mm-hmm. These cars on this list that are named after birds don't look.
I know. It's 1959 and 1966. Not really a whole lot to say about the Lark. I mean, take a look at the photo and you make up your mind. I mean, I'm sure there's a group of fans out there, a fan base that loves the Lark and
right.
say nothing bad about it. But relatively plain Jane. Something that's not plain Jane, number 17, the AMC Marlin.
Yeah, and a lot of people recognize the AMC Marlin because it has a singular hatchback approach.
Yeah, you know what? To me, this looks an awful lot like the Barracuda that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Not the one that I pictured,
not the
but
one
the 1965 version, the one that had the curved glass.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine it without the curved glass. This has a very similar body style and look.
Similar profile, yeah.
Usually painted really cool with a great big stripe down the middle of them. A lot of them have that. Really cool looking car. And honestly, you can pick up a Marlin for not much money these days.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm not exactly sure.
Why.
I mean, I just don't. There's got to be a reason.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that somebody will tell us the reason. But, you know, for whatever reason, you can pick up a used AMC Marlin for not so much.
And if you're lucky, you can find a Ford Mustang for a good price. Now, these are, of course, so well known that, you know, what's funny to me is that I've met a couple of people who don't know the etymology of Mustang. They didn't know that the horse that this is named after.
Oh, okay.
So
that's kind of interesting. I think that was what they would think of off the bat instead of the car, maybe, if they weren't car people, you know?
Well, yeah, but some people who are car people don't know that the Mustang is a kind of horse.
Oh, I get it, even though it's right there in the logo.
Yeah, so it seems like it's a made-up word to them, like Camry or something.
Oh, okay, got it. Is Camry made up?
I'm just going with it.
Yeah, why not? Okay. So the Mustang, anyways, was 1964 and mm-hmm. a half to present. I'm kind of liking the newer ones, really. I don't know why I like the newer ones, but I kind of do. I was not a fan for a long time, like the Fox Body era.
You didn't like that?
Not so much, but I really do like the new ones. Okay.
This is one of the first times that I've ever heard you pick a newer design of a car.
Oh, I don't know. Camaro's pretty awesome. That Camaro's pretty awesome. But,
you
know what? Similar. Yeah, okay.
Ford Pinto.
All right, so let's move on. Let's get through a couple of these kind of quick.
Yeah,
how about
fast.
We do that? The Ford Pinto, 1970 to 1980. There's a lot to say about this, honestly. We could do a whole episode on this.
Mm.
Named after a bean? No, I'm kidding. It's not. Isn't that another horse? Pinto's another horse, right?
I believe so.
I think it is. So there was a 1977 controversy where they had the rear end collisions, and there's like a fuel filler neck that would break off and spill fuel and
gave
fires.
Gave the Pinto kind of a bad name.
Very bad name. The recall was in 1978, and they just never came back from that. 1980, it was gone. Volkswagen Rabbit, 1974. They're still making the Rabbit, which is kind of cool. I like that design. I like the old ones, of course. I always like the older vehicle, it seems. Dodge Ram only goes back to 1981.
And this is a tremendously popular vehicle.
Very popular.
And not only that, but I'm going to go ahead and make a call. This name fits this vehicle so well.
I think it does. This is a very good choice for Dodge. And I don't know. I can't say enough about the Dodge Ram. I mean, I think that really they're great. They're great trucks. And I think, again, not paid or anything. I'm just saying that they look fantastic. I mean, you see them everywhere. So, you know, there's a reason for that.
Well,
along with the F-150, you know, that's popular.
Can't touch it.
They get the job done.
Yeah. They're for pros.
All right. Number 22.
Roadrunner.
The Plymouth Roadrunner. Now, the Plymouth Roadrunner, you might, 1968 to 1980, you might think of, you know, anything in between there. The one I think of, the one that we've got pictured here, the 1970 Superbird version.
Oh, yeah. Recognizable by the elongated body and the spoiler there.
Exactly. The NASCAR version. That's my favorite. And the one that surprisingly didn't do well at the dealership when it first came out. But now, oh, boy, if you could find one.
Well, you know, there's that old saying or understanding that one of the most difficult car buys to make if you're a family member, you know, like you're the mom or the dad in a family, it's a little bit more difficult to get a coupe because when you think of family, think of a four-door car.
Sure, you need the sedan.
You need the sedan.
So, this is probably kind of a hard sell.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting car. I love the Plymouth Roadrunner.
And then we've got the Mercury Sable.
Yeah, the Mercury Sable. the image that I chose for this one was the Ford Taurus from the late 1980s. They actually made the Sable from 85 to about 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like a mid-size, full-size thing.
Yeah.
Four-door, just kind of middle-of-the-road vehicle, but again, named after an animal, so that's why it's on the list.
This next one is probably one of my favorite body designs, at least from the photo you have.
No kidding.
The Buick Skylark. Yeah, man, this is awesome.
Well,
this...
I gave you a photo of a first-generation Skylark.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a beautiful car, Ben.
Yeah, it's cherry. It's got the white wall tires, and it's got the kind of body work that you just don't see nowadays.
Skylark. So there's another that's a bird.
Yeah, I'm trying to make peace with my prejudice against bird cars.
All right, well, how about spider cars like the Porsche that's next? Because I see a spider as a type of vehicle. Now, I know there's a Porsche Spider that came out in the 1950s, the 550 model, and that's James Dean's car. You know,
the legendary cursed Porsche.
The little bastard. That's the one I had to say, because he made it famous, I guess, in that, you know, more famous than it would have been, I suppose, by, you know, kind of creating this legend around this vehicle.
Right.
I mean, that's what you always think about when you see this 550 Spider vehicle is James Dean's car and, you know, the infamous cursed vehicle that he has and all the parts that go along with it.
So, yeah.
Number 26 is a Stag, which is made by Triumph. And it was actually kind of low production, 1970, 1978. Ben, personally,
yeah,
I'm kind of a Spitfire guy myself. When you talk about Triumph,
yeah, no kidding.
Similar in design, just not quite as sporty. Stag is for some people, not for others.
A little more accessible.
Maybe not me.
But number 27. Listen, if you don't like this car, Scott, then I'm not sure what the future of this show is going to be the Stingray is. Yeah. Beautiful.
It is.
Anybody who says a word against this thing is like, what's that quote that people often bandy about where they say architecture is frozen music? This car is moving music. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like a masterpiece, really. Mm-hmm. They were built from 1963 to 67 and then again from 1969 to 76. So there's a couple generations there. The one that I like in particular, I've mentioned this before, is the C2, which is the 63 to 67, the one that's pictured with the split back window. Just a gorgeous car. So there's a lot of good things to say about the Stingray. And we've done Corvette shows before with, the Bill Mitchell and the Mako Shark thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know what? Mako Shark's not on our list, but that was a concept vehicle. So we'll move on.
And let's skip through these. We're getting through the tail end. So there's the Dodge Super B.
Yep. Super B. Love it. I mean, they brought it back for a short time in 2007.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the one that you can never miss. The classic, the Ford Thunderbird.
Yeah, exactly. Thunderbird. I'm not a fan of the believe it or not, Ben, the 11th generation, the modern Thunderbird that's no longer around. Mm-hmm. Just not my thing.
Not really my thing.
I like the 64, 65, something like that.
Well, then would you be interested in a Dodge Viper, my friend?
I absolutely would. The GTS is probably one of my favorite versions, the coupe. Mm-hmm. With the racing stripes, typically blue.
Yeah,
that's just my favorite. How about you? Which do you like, the older Viper or the newer Viper design, or something in between?
You know, gonna go with the new one.
Really?
Yeah.
I just love that giant vent in the front. You know, like right in front of the front door, that great big opening. It's like a great big gill slit almost.
Yeah.
I just love that on the Viper. Here's one.
What's that?
The Hudson Wasp. Now this was I've heard of the Hudson Hornet. Mm-hmm. This is the Hudson Wasp. I'm guessing it looks very similar. I tried to find out the difference between the Hornet and the Wasp. I couldn't find it. But it's very limited production from 52 to 56. You gave me a Matchbox car that was the Hudson Hornet.
Yep.
And I love that car. It's a beautiful car.
It's better when it's an actual car.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it's still cool to have on my desk. I appreciate it.
Here's one I never heard of. I've never heard of
it. Never heard of it.
I had not heard of the Kissel White Eagle.
The White Eagle. Now, this is strange, but this one goes all the way back to 1927. They built it until about 1930, and Kissel was one of these automobile manufacturers that went defunct early on.
Back when there was literally a plethora.
Yeah, there were hundreds and hundreds, if not a thousand, U.S. auto manufacturers at the time. We've got an entire show on that, by the way. But they were only around from 1906 to 1930. So it was a short production for them and even a shorter production for the White Eagle.
And our very end of this list from our article, at least, is the Buick Wildcat.
Yeah. You know, there's a street version of this and there's a concept version of this.
Yeah, and you were kind enough to include a picture of the 1985 concept.
Yeah, that's right. There was the production version from Buick, which was 1963 to 1970. Mm-hmm. So short production, but really cool looking car. Classic Detroit Iron type car, big car. And then there's this concept vehicle, which is really out there. You know, it's like a bubble-shaped design. I saw this car in person at the GM Styling Dome.
Did you?
Yeah, I was invited in with my dad was doing a program with General Motors at the time, and I went in as a youngster into the GM Styling Dome, and there on display, you know, the turntable in the middle of the Styling Dome with all the lights on it was the Buick Wildcat, along with the Corvette Indy, which was a concept car. Corvette. And it's gorgeous. I mean, it just stuck in my mind forever as being one of the coolest concept cars. And when you see it in person, far beats you know, any image you're going to see online of this thing, but really, really neat car.
And here's the
And what a great name, by the way.
Yeah. That is a
Wildcat is an awesome name. They should bring that back.
And I was just about to address that question because I'm sure there are people who are listening, they're wondering, Scott and Ben, why are you giving us this quick introduction to all these vehicles based on their name? What's in a name? And to that question, I would respond a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, everything is in the name of these things because you'd be surprised how much this plays into people's, like I said, we mentioned earlier, what kind of image it instantly brings to your mind. And just think, when you think of Wildcat, you're not thinking of some very subtle sedan. You're thinking of something that's kind of like a track car. Something kind of a monster on the road.
And for instance, for a counterexample, you would probably never buy a car called the Honda Dodo.
Yeah, or the Snail.
Or the Snail or the Tortoise.
Yeah. Here's the latest VW Slug.
Mm-hmm. And the urban legends of car history are rife with stories of poorly named cars. I think one of my favorites, we may have recounted this in an earlier episode, one of my favorite stories, unconfirmed, about cars concerns the Chevy Nova, which, according to legend, had terrible sales in Latin America. Nova meaning, of course, it doesn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of other ones that maybe are not so much safe for a family show like
that.
Yeah,
they have lots of car lore at Snopes, so check it out. You know, one thing that's true, though, and you'll hear this bantied about a little bit, is another car that didn't make our list that's named after an animal. It's the De Tomaso Pantera. Now, Pantera means panther, and the Pantera is an awesome car. It's a sports car, rear engine, V8, very, very strong, supercar looks almost, you know, for the era that it was built. Elvis owned one of these famously, and one day it wouldn't start, and he shot it.
Yes. Oh, good. Yep, that works.
Yeah, he shot it. So, you know, as he did the TVs and, you know, whatever else wouldn't work, apparently, he shot it. And, you know, that vehicle makes the rounds, you know, with other rock and roll memorabilia.
Yeah, so, no, Scott, you know, I was born in Nashville, so don't – be careful what you say about the king.
I'm not going to disparage the king in any way. Don't worry about that. He's quite a character, and I really love all the stories surrounding him. They're so entertaining, and it just makes you scratch your head.
He did shoot that car, though. That's not an urban legend. He shot it.
I know he absolutely did. I can believe every word of it. You know, I was just scratching down some other names here. I got two others that I thought of. There's the Corbin Sparrow. Which is a three-wheel car that's kind of like a motorcycle vehicle.
Which we actually saw at Georgia Tech campus.
You have seen one on the road. I've never seen one on the road, but you've seen one.
Oh, yeah. Well, do the other car, and then maybe we'll make it a stunt.
The very last one that I just thought of, Hyundai makes a car called the Tiburon, and that means the shark. And that's one that is neglected from the list, but I don't know where that, you know, a long time ago I heard that, and it's just stuck with me ever since that means the shark.
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
That's a cool name.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess we'll do this as a Stuff Ben Sees.
Great.
Which is weird. So as some folks know, I am a part-time student at Georgia Tech. And one thing that's really cool about going to that campus is that it's filled with brilliant people who are always trying the next thing. And a lot of their stuff is unorthodox. So where would I be more likely to see a three-wheeled car like this than on the Tech campus? And so there I am. I'm walking down the way, and I see this. It's kind of a powder blue, and it's parked on the side of the road. And I look around, you know, to check the scene. And then what else can I do, man? I start taking photographs, right?
Sure.
And Georgia Tech has, in the off and on, some problems with crime. So I am approached by someone who's clearly a uniformed security officer, like a campus cop kind of person. And they ask me, you know, what I'm doing, because obviously I'm leaning in against the window to try to get a picture of the steering okay. and the dash.
So this is more than just standing 20 feet back and taking a photo.
It looked a little creepy. I will definitely post these to either our Facebook or maybe a blog to let you guys get a closer look at it.
Probiotics aren't a trend anymore. They're a mainstay in the health and wellness aisle of your favorite store. And Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls are the easiest way to introduce a probiotic into your routine. I mean, they're just what they sound like. Adorable little pearls that couldn't be easier to take. But they still pack that probiotic punch. Each tiny pearl has 1 billion active cultures and protect against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort. And they actually support both digestive and vaginal health, so that's a win-win. And according to my little fact sheet here, they're designed with a triple layer coating that protects each pearl from stomach acid, so they can make it all the way to your small intestine where they're needed most. You probably didn't think we'd be talking about the small intestine today, did you? Well, digestive health is kind of important. If you know, you know. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without painful fingersticks. So you will always know which way your glucose is headed. An arrow shows you where you're heading, up, down, or steady. It can even alert you before you go too low or when you're too high. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM available, you can make better diabetes decisions about food, medication, and activity in the moment. And all those little decisions can lead to big results. Results you can see, like more time in range and lower A1C. With Dexcom G7, you can manage your diabetes with confidence. Get started with the number one recommended CGM brand by doctors and patients at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And at this point, I think I'm still kind of fascinated by car names. I'd really like to hear listener ideas for good or bad car names.
Oh, animal names. How about some animal names that they could bring back? Or maybe not bring back, but mm-hmm. create. Something new that hasn't been done before that wasn't on our list. Or you're right, other names that, you know, just are out, any name.
Yeah.
Because this is a difficult thing. It's harder than you think when you sit down to really do it.
Right. It's tough.
Think about everything that name implies and then decide if it's a good name.
Yeah. And let us know what you come up with. You can always send us a line on Facebook. You can drop us a note on Twitter. And you can send us an email directly at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you haven't heard, it's a good idea to fit probiotics into your daily routine. Fortunately, Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls make that so easy. These adorable little pearls couldn't be easier to take, and they support both digestive and vaginal health, all because of the probiotics. There are actually 1 billion active cultures protecting against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort, all in one tiny little pearl. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.